A real privilege this morning to get a chance to meet Mr. Jesse Sullivan. Morning, sir. How are you today?
Hey, morning, Tom. Great to be here and talk to you.
I actually started hearing Jesse's name about 2 weeks ago, and saying it's coming and it's coming and it's happened this week as he is announced as a gubernatorial candidate for the Republican Party. What's interesting is you've got kind of an interesting story from Petersburg, Illinois, California, then back to Illinois.
Right. I even went a few other places in between there. So I was went over to Afghanistan to do some counterinsurgency work over there. I was down in Haiti and a lot of developing countries doing work, largely driven by my faith, and kind of sent me all around to try to help get people out of poverty, and in mainly by creating jobs in the later part of my life here. And look back home and you think, man, our politicians are doing a terrible job just driving people out of our state, and this is my home that I love, and so how are we going to fix it? So after a lot of prayer with my wife, we made this decision to move in to run for governor.
And, you know, there's a couple of things here if you listen closely. First off, in reading up on Mr. Sullivan on this, the clear realization that there are two kinds of people in the world, the haves and the haves not, the have and the have nots, and your desire to change that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, our faith just tells us, hey, you know, growing up, my faith was really simple. It said, hey, be a good person and love your neighbor in need. And, you know, I got exposed to people, especially down in El Salvador and Central America, and then in a lot of other developing countries. And man, their parents just couldn't provide for their kids' basic needs. And it's so, so sad and heartbreaking. And my faith tells me you try to do something about that. And I failed my way forward, and charity and aid was an important part of that. But eventually I learned the best way to actually help a family was not just through handouts. It was creating jobs and lots of jobs and economic opportunity. And, you know, that hard work that you learn here in Central Illinois, where I grew up, like, that's just so important for trying to give people the opportunity to use that hard work to put food on the table. And so, that's why I'm kind of moving into the political direction now, even though I don't really like politics. I'd rather be talking sports with you here, but I feel like this is what I'm called to be trying to work on.
I thought that was interesting in reading some of materials attributed to you. You said what you just outlined there as the only true lasting solution to the problems we face.
Right. I mean, you look at, I was doing a lot of hard work, you know, down in Haiti, trying to fix problems down there by providing charity and aid, and people would say "Bimwe Bomba Guy," which means give me something good, and it kind of created this culture of dependency. And I hated that because for me, you know, dignity comes from working hard and putting real effort into something. And at the same time, people need that opportunity, you know, to be able to work hard. And I mean, you look at COVID back here, and you got a governor who's just closing down small businesses without much thought about it. And you think about all those small business owners and the need to put food on the table for their families. And so that's who I care about and want to be working for.
All right. Now, you just said something in my mind that's interesting, without much thought about it. And because I've often thought there are people above a certain pay grade, we'll say, who don't understand what it's like to be less than. And so you go on, you say, oh, the biggest store on the block can stay open, but the little guy can't. Well, the big guy is the one most likely to be able to survive it, while the little guy is not. And you go for that. I mean, we see this time and time again, and to being able to understand being in the other person's shoes isn't seem like we're doing a very good job of that these days. Jesse Sullivan's joining us, Republican gubernatorial candidate. What is Alter Global?
Yeah, so Alter was essentially out of what we've been talking about, which is recognizing that creating jobs is the best way to help a family in need. So that's when I went out to Stanford Business School, and for 2 years, and, you know, I've actually lived in California less than 3 years of my entire life, which is two of which were for school, which is funny how people are trying to frame me as being a Californian when I am Central Illinois through and through. Moved back over 5 years ago, raising my family here and running this organization that says, can we find the best entrepreneurs around the world that are creating the jobs of the future that can really help put food on the table for their families in need? So I've been doing that work, and now that's what I want to do here in Illinois. We're just have businesses fleeing the better-run states, our high taxes and corruption and crime in this state, and our politicians' unwillingness to do things about it. It had me say, I'm doing this around the world. I need to be doing this back in my home in Illinois and trying to create jobs here.
You said something interesting, being framed as from out of state, even though you only lived there in San Francisco 3 years. It's interesting because the first time someone talked to me about you, this new candidate, that's exactly how they framed it. And I've read a bunch of media reports since. Here's the other item that you're being framed with. Look, and I forgot which publisher it was. I think it was the Tribune, saying, look, this guy announces and he does $11 million in like 24 hours. You're being framed already. And I think there's two reasons for this. Maybe they're trying to reframe you as Bruce Rauner. I'm not sure. But, you know, that for some reason, every article seems to say the defining issue of this election is money and how much a person has. And if that's our goal here, that dollars are votes, that's a very disconcerting item when it comes to money being the defining item and issue for an election.
Yeah. Yep, it is. I mean, here's what I've learned. This is why I hate politics. Honestly, I don't want to be a politician. I really do want to be the anti-politician, someone who can just be a common sense problem solver who is actually trying to solve problems for their neighbors and get real outcomes. But politicians do this. They say, "Oh, you know, they benefit off division and spreading misinformation." I mean, if anyone wants to check and look, you can see I'm from Illinois. I've lived here all my life, other than traveling and working to try to create these jobs, you know, other places. And that was school out in California. So I came back here. I've been trying to, you know, I decided to come back because my dad has had cancer and my have faith, family, service. Those are my three core priorities in my life. And so family is just such an important part. So I'm just raising my four kids with a fifth on the way, and we do foster care also. And just love raising my family here the way I was raised, running around the cornfields and the creeks. And, you know, there's no better place to live and raise a family for me. But it's our politicians that are driving our state into the ground. And so that's what I feel called to try to fix. And when it comes to the money, we're taking on the wealthiest governor in the entire country. And we're so used to resources leaving the state. Well, I want to bring them in. You know, I got to create these relationships with people who have seen what I can deliver on, and they want to see someone who can actually get things done and be a non-politician and solve problems and not be this divisive person. And so they decided, hey, we support you in this. We'll back you. And so I'm going to use those resources to the best of my ability to try to fix Illinois.
All right. Well, I want to throw a hypothetical at you this morning. Jesse Sullivan, Republican gubernatorial candidate as of earlier this week. You're elected governor today. Boom. It's done. It's all right. That's a foregone conclusion. Like I say, we're hypothetical here. But the legislature is still a supermajority Democrat body.
Right.
How would you be able to achieve the goals that you've outlined? Clearly, there's, 180 degrees, right, between the party in so many different ways. But if you're a Republican governor with a supermajority when it comes to the legislative body, how can you work with those people to make things happen when they are so polarized against any opinion other than their own?
Yeah, I'm one of eight kids. So growing up, we had to split a piece of gum. I couldn't get a full one. It was too much, and I had to share with my brothers and sisters. And if you wanted to choose a restaurant, you had to convince your seven brothers and sisters that's where you wanted to go. So it's a part of my DNA to be able to reconcile differences, to move forward, to be mission-centric, but finding a way to work with others to get it done. And like I said, I'm not some ideologue who's a hyper-partisan. I'm someone who is a common-sense problem solver who's pragmatic and loves my neighbor and need enough to find and work towards a solution. So if you're Democrat, Republican, like, I care about being able to say, we have a corruption. We should be known as rooted Midwesterners here, that we have to be moral leaders for the state. And I want to find people on the Democratic side who agree with that, and on the Republican side too, that we have to work so hard together to solve those problems. And it's not going to be easy, but I do know we can't frame this as the Democrats are the enemy, because we live in a, like you just laid out, the structural scenario. And if you're going to rail against, we tried that experiment before, you know, and it didn't work. We couldn't pass a budget for 3 years, and And it's something where you say, hey, we're going to have to work really hard together, but we need a uniter. And I look up to Abraham Lincoln. I grew up a couple miles away from Lincoln's New Salem. And I just feel like, man, can we unite together like he did, honest principle, the uniter? But he was willing to fight for what's right. And I think lowering our taxes to attract jobs in, being able to, you know, take on corruption and fight. But the other one is crime up in our cities. You know, it's unreal how it's driving people out. And one last thing about governor that I love, you're not just the legislator, you're running agencies. So you have all these agencies, and what hurts me is that we're paying so much in taxes, but getting so little in return for that. And you can manage towards outcomes in a business-like way with all those agencies, so we can reduce the tax burden on all the people in Illinois and start to drive the job creators of the country here to Illinois.
Well, the one thing that I see, and you've used this term a couple of times, common sense, doesn't seem to be quite as widely valued as you and I think. As I look around me, I wonder if common sense is the rarest thing in the world, an endangered species of thought.
That's a good one. I agree with you. It's, I mean, you say common sense, but it seems to be rare, more and more rare every day. But that's when I look at Illinoisans, when I think, what does it mean to be an Illinoisan, to be from Illinois? Because I'm proud of that. To me, that means that you are rooted, that you are hardworking, and that you have common sense. And right now, you know, we need to moderate these crazy extremes. We need to be the common sense people who are the backbone of the nation. And I think we need to get back to that.
You know what I found interesting, and I was doing this, it was reading a survey report from the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. And you would think, right, with the radical different opinions between Chicago and southernmost Illinois, that one would feel as though Springfield was meeting their needs and expectations. I think it's 3 decimal points of separation, and I think it's around 73-76%, somewhere in that category, that say Springfield does not represent them. 3 out of 4. And here's the interesting thing. It doesn't matter whether you're from Alexander County or Cook. You still have the same opinion that Springfield isn't responding to you.
Yep. It's unreal. There's the lowest trust in government of any state in the entire nation. And it's been embedded into our system, this corruption, where you have politicians that are working for themselves, for their own benefit. So insiders benefiting themselves, working with these special interests, while us outsiders lose. And I feel like, man, and that's why J.B. Pritzker, his number one initiative during his term to raise taxes on the people of Illinois was so soundly rejected. Because people realize, we don't want you raising taxes on it. We're generous people. You know, if those dollars are really going to help our neighbor in need, we probably wouldn't mind so much. But we mind because it's like a leaky hose. You know, if you've got a leaky hose, you don't keep running more water through it. You fix the leak in the hose. And so me, being a political outsider, I feel like that's what I want to take on, is this corruption and the people who are just in public office to benefit themselves. And that's not who I would be. And if I'm elected governor, you'll see me fighting really hard, fighting for these common sense values, but also to get these corrupt legislators, lobbyists, special interests out of Springfield.
Jesse Sullivan, Republican gubernatorial candidate.